This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
I don't know, I guess it is with the media, they just love to gush, and Beto O'Rourke just gives them the perfect opportunity to gush, does it not? They love to gush. Gush away with Beto, but I tell you who's not happy today, Joe Biden. Because Beto O'Rourke is a younger version of Joe Biden, only more liberal and just not Joe Biden. But it's bad news for Joe Biden, either way. Welcome back to the show, glad you're here, happy Thursday. Back in studio with you. My thanks again to the Phillies for hosting me down in spring training. 855-839-1210. You know what's amazing, of course, is that one of the key points that Democrats are having they keep going further left on every issue. And Beto O'Rourke is the ultimate in going left, only the guy doesn't have a job. He's an unemployed provocateur, so to speak. He's a big guy in the media. They love him. But he doesn't actually have a job to go to. So he's able to say whatever he wants. He's not accountable to anybody right now. It's fine. Hey, look, he doesn't have to worry about losing re-election. He doesn't have to worry about making people upset, losing customers or anything. So he can say crazy things like tear down the wall that's already built. Yeah, Beto O'Rourke actually believes you should take down the wall in the parts that's already built. Take those parts of the wall down. Take them down. That's what Beto O'Rourke believes. Beto O'Rourke is a guy who is, they compared him to Robert F. Kennedy. I always thought Ted Kennedy was a much better fit, considering that Beto was drinking and driving, got into an accident, ran away from the cops. I mean, he didn't kill anybody like Ted Kennedy did, but, I mean, as far as comparisons to Kennedy's go, I think Ted is a more apropos comparison, if you ask me. And, of course, Beto promised he was not running for president. Beto. I actually think calling him Beto works. I do. I think Beto is just so, it's so symbolic of the times we're in now. You know, we've got AOC, we've got Beto. It's just, it's as if everything's become an appetizer, so to speak. There's actually no substance to anything anymore. So here's some Beto for you. Here's some AOC to top it off. Go enjoy. But it's not about substance in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't have to be, though, of course. With the Democratic Party, it doesn't have to be. I mean, Obama certainly didn't have any substance, so why should Beto have any substance? The problem for Beto O'Rourke, though, is that he's entering a very crowded field, and he's still a white guy, you know, in a time when the Democratic Party has vowed to disown all white people. And the other problem for Beto O'Rourke that he has is that whenever you're going as a young guy and you're running for president, and you go out there and you promise you're not running for president, and then people ask why you are running and you don't actually have a concrete answer, people begin to wonder, is it just really just all about your ego? Now, that may not matter to him now. That may not matter to voters who are all on the Beto train, but certainly does matter to Democrats who want to take him down. Let's remember, there's a long, long list of Democrats running for president right now. Beto O'Rourke is just one of those people, and the list is not complete yet. So as the list grows and grows, more people want to take out people like Beto O'Rourke. Which is why some people think Beto might be just running for vice president of the United States. Maybe he's not even really running for president. This was his little montage promising, definitively now promising, he would not run for president, courtesy of Grabe and Cut One.
Do you foresee yourself one day running for the president of the United States?
You see? Listen to the crowd. They love him.
Thank you for being here. Thanks for the question. Dana, since this is the last segment, asked me to be brief, and so I will. The answer is no. But I appreciate it. My wife was the only one to clap during that. Our children are 11, they're 10, and they're 7 years old. We've told them we're going to take these almost 2 years out of our life to run this race, and then we're devoted and committed to being a family again. So that's what we're focused on. But thank you for asking the question. It's super.
That I'm not looking at 2020, and in fact, I'm completely ruling that out. Not going to do that.
No matter what, win or lose, you're not going to run in 2020.
Win or lose, I'm not running in 2020. I got to tell you, it's incredibly flattering that anyone would ask me the question, or that's even up for discussion. But since people have asked, the answer is no.
Congressman, can you say definitively that no matter what happens tomorrow, you will not be a candidate for president in 2020?
I will not be a candidate for president in 2020.
Thanks.
That's, I think, as definitive as those sentences get.
Is that a definitive no?
It's a definitive no.
Like never?
I mean, let me put it this way. I promise to you, and most importantly to the people of Texas, that I'll serve every single day of a 6-year term in the United States Senate, and I won't leave this state to go run for president.
And if you don't win?
If I don't win, we're back in El Paso.
Yeah. Well, he starts off with a lie. But, you know, he begins with a lie as he runs for president. That's his first thing that everybody has to realize. Now, people will turn around and go, yeah, but, I mean, a lot of candidates say they're not running. Right, but, see, he definitively said it over and over and over again. He wasn't running because he believed he was going to win. Why do you believe he was going to win? Because it's kind of a cult. If you realize this now, the vapid Beto cult mania that surrounds this guy is purely based on fluff. It's all fluff. There's no substance behind any of it. There is no substance behind any of this guy. And the movement that backed him and the media going crazy around him says a lot about where we are as a country. It certainly defines, in my mind, a lot of where the media is today. They love the whole mania aspect of this. They loved it. They were all in on this, calling him a rock star and cheering him on and giving him the softball questions. They loved it. Because for them, the idea of somebody young and completely being all fluff, well, that's great for them. Good. Love it. Go with it.
You're a rock star.
No, there's just so many great
really
people
are.
Who are.
You can't go anywhere without getting...
Hey!
Yeah. It's ABC News. They love them. I guess we're not a serious country anymore. I guess that's really what we've decided now. We're not serious. And so it's funny, though, right? Coming from the media who mocked a reality star running for president. Difference, though, is that reality star made billions of dollars and ran businesses, and that's the difference. But when they did it, remember when they mocked Trump, they said, we're in a reality show. It's a reality show moment, and that's all this was, and they wanted serious. They said Obama was serious, and now look at Trump, they said. Well, Trump actually hired people, accomplished things, built things, you know, employed people, made jobs, that sort of thing. Kind of a minor point. Beto O'Rourke is purely the antithesis of that. Thank you. Beto O'Rourke is exactly a symbol of our times, though, which is a guy who has no substance, who goes out on television and says things, and the media decides we're going to make you a star. He's exactly like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in that concept. I mean, what does she stand for? She doesn't stand for any policy. The little socialist who runs around, very dangerous, by the way. She's Eva Perón. She runs around. She doesn't stand for anything that's actually a legitimate policy position. But remember, in this day and age, you don't have to be about policy. You've got to be about feelings. You've got to be about feeling good. It's about feeling good inside. And Beto makes them feel good. AOC makes them feel good. Makes them feel good inside. And that's all that counts. Today, a bunch of kids in New Jersey have walked out of schools to protest climate change. The protest that they're not doing enough on climate change. And they nominated a 16-year-old girl for the Nobel Peace Prize over her work on climate change activism. On activism. So that's now, being an activist on climate change is enough now to get you the Nobel Peace Prize. Or at least the nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize. We're not living in a time where people actually want solutions to things. They want somebody who they can look at as a cult of personality. They do. It's what they wanted with Obama, too. Remember, Obama was the guy that Oprah was backing, and Obama was going to be the guy that changed America, the post-racial president, all the other nonsense we heard. And it was very much a cult of personality. Runs against John McCain, and they made John McCain into an old, stodgy guy who was just, you know, cranky and ran against Mitt Romney, and they hated Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was a guy who had the audacity to put a dog on top of his car. Remember that? Here we are today with the media loving Mitt Romney and missing John McCain very, very much, because those were the kind of Republicans that they said that they could have backed. But when they ran, the media called them racist and sexist and everything else because they were going against their guys. They've always wanted this notion of this. It's almost like if you look at it, like an aura. It's like an aura. They want an aura of somebody. And they want to get behind a vision, a concept, but they don't actually want to get behind any real solutions to things. I mean, give me one credible Democrat. Give me a Democrat who's running that actually has policy positions that could actually work or pass or anything. Is the Green New Deal that? Is the Green New Deal going to do that? Is tearing down border wall going to do it? I mean, I can understand if you debate wanting to build a wall, but tearing down the wall that's already built, I mean, is that how you're going to get there? Beto O'Rourke endorsed the Green New Deal, and he warned us that we only have 12 years left. So if he wins, that's right after his second term, about the time when we all die, I guess. So let's go out with a bang. That should be his new slogan. Go out with a bang with Beto. Take a listen.
We face catastrophe and crisis on this planet, even if we were to stop emitting carbon today, right now, at this moment. Let us all be well aware that life is going to be a lot tougher for the generations that follow us, no matter what we do. It is only a matter of degrees. And along this current trajectory, there will be people who can no longer live in the cities that they call home today. There is food grown in this country that will no longer prosper in these soils. There is going to be massive migration of tens or hundreds of millions of people from countries that are literally uninhabitable or underwater that are above the sea right now. This is our final chance. The scientists are absolutely unanimous on this, that we have no more than 12 years to take incredibly bold action on this crisis. Literally, not to be melodramatic, but literally the future of the world depends on us right now here where we are. So yes, let's find a way to do this.
Yeah. You know what's sad, though, is that a lot of young people, they love this. They do. They love it. They go, oh, he's speaking. Yes. He speaks right to me. Right to me directly. What did he say there that actually is a policy position? Did anyone hear that? I heard platitudes. I heard warnings. I heard hyperbole. I heard dire warnings of apocalyptic doom. I didn't hear an actual policy position in there. You don't have to. It's all about feelings again. Remember, we're dealing with a generation of people that just want to feel something. And if somebody makes them feel something, that's good enough. That's good enough. It's part of the reason why there was a major college scandal, as you know, because a lot of people can't deal with the fact that they might get rejected. You know, they may not get a trophy, and their sensitive little snowflake selves might melt. And so their parents, to shield them, made sure that they would get into the college of their dreams, even if the college of their dreams was USC, not exactly Yale or Harvard here, or Princeton. I mean that in the sense that University of South Carolina, of Southern California, is not an Ivy League school. But they didn't want their daughter to be upset if she didn't get in. So they'll drop 500 grand to make sure she gets in. And those same parents had stickers all over their face of Hillary Clinton in 2016. So you see, what it's about with a generation right now is it's about feelings. It's not logic. It's not being able to even debate things, because we don't allow debate. Most college campuses now, if you bring up a position they don't like, the students will work to remove you as a professor. I talked about that with you yesterday. It's a college where if they don't like what you have to say, they'll remove you as professor of that college. We're living in a time now where young people want to feel something. But if you make their feelings upset, they call that triggering, and then they want you gone. If you're a comedian, they want you shut down. If you're a professor, they want you fired. If they don't get the job or the college acceptance letter, or they don't make the team, or they don't get the trophy, then they'll be held to pay because they're delicate and precious inside. Beto O'Rourke, AOC, they are the candidates of their time for this very, very reason. They have no substance. It's all feelings. It's all emotion. And the scary part is they could win. That's the scary part.
The Rich Cioli Show.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on today. It's a big, big day. A lot breaking here. Yes, somebody asked me, please stop saying Beto. Call him Robert Francis. No. Robert Francis sounds like a serious candidate. Beto does not. And that's the point, is that much like with AOC, Beto, all this nonsense, it's the sign of our times of feelings, pop culture, and just utter nonsense. But, you know, the nice thing about it is that the more these people talk, the dumber they sound, and the more I really truly believe people can see through this. I do. I think the problem is that the media jumps on these people and makes them into superstars. And the more that they wind up talking, the more normal people, and I mean normal people, people that are not in the media and are not in that world of New York and San Francisco and D.C., I think hear them and go, what the hell did he just say? The problem, though, is not this election. I fear for the future. I do. And I don't mean that in a negative way, as in we're all going to die in 12 years kind of a way. I think that there are a lot of younger people who listen to the nonsense that's being spewed by these people, and they think, yeah, that feels right to me. It feels right. And they've been taught to reject, for example, conservatism because it sounds mean. It's mean. I don't know why it's mean, but they were told it's mean. So when you teach people to feel and not think and not be critical thinkers, but to be feelers, they definitely can relate to pablum that's spewed out there, and they go, oh, well, yeah, that sounds yay. And they don't want to be left out when the crowd's cheering, so they go, yay. Of course, then what happens, though, is that these guys and gals, they start talking more and more, and then the more that they talk, the more crazy they sound. I really believe that. I think the more they talk, the crazier they sound, and the further their chances of losing becomes pretty obvious to everybody. You know, if I were President Trump, I would love the idea of running against Beto O'Rourke. I would. I would love it, because a guy like him is exactly the kind of... he's tailor-made for the Trump era. The media will fawn all over him, but he cannot match the substance of what the president talks about. He can't match the substance on the economy. And inevitably, because the allure of the feelings moves you further left, he'll wind up going further left. There's nothing mainstream about wanting to tear down existing border wall. I mean, you could argue, and there are people that do, that say we should not have any more wall. Like, that's a legitimate, you can have that discussion. It's a debate back and forth. You know, there's too many challenges. It won't work. But nobody, and I mean nobody in their right mind, thinks, yes, let's invest time, resources, and money to tear down the barriers that we've already built. But this is what happens with feelings. When you start going down the road of feelings, inevitably you keep going further left with your feelings because the crowd cheers you on and you go, yeah, while we're at it, let's tear down the wall. Yeah. While we're at it, let's just make Mexico part of the U.S. Yeah. I mean, why not? It feels good. The crowd loves it. Just go with it. You know, the other problem, too, for the Democrats is that if they're going to be going down the road of these unserious candidates, and then they purposely will reject a candidate who has a chance of making a credible case like Joe Biden does. And again, I think Joe Biden's time has passed. I don't think Joe Biden can win. I think Joe Biden can't even win the nomination right now. But let's be honest. He's probably the only reasonable Democrat that's out there right now talking about running for president. Maybe him and Amy Klobuchar, I guess. In terms of reasonable, in the sense of not saying things that are so incredibly crazy that they automatically just cancel themselves out of a general election. They're not reasonable positions to me, but then again, I'm pretty conservative, so not a lot of things that any Democrats say are pretty reasonable in my book, but they're certainly not nuts. Not all their positions, anyway. And Joe Biden could probably make a good case for why he can relate to the working guys and why he's, you know, not going to be a guy who's like them all the way to the left on the environment and everything else. That's why they won't let him win the nomination. And Beto could. I mean, Beto could win, but then Beto's going to be the kind of guy that talks about shutting down coal plants. You know, Beto O'Rourke's going to be the kind of guy who talks about using executive powers to order coal plants closed. That's not going to play well in the Rust Belt or in Michigan or in Pennsylvania or in West Virginia or Kentucky or anywhere else. But he's bound to say something that's stupid if he hasn't already. Who knows? It's just like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and just like some of the others, they talk about seizing your wealth, you know, seizing capital, going in there and taking money from people who they feel haven't earned it right. Now, that stuff does not play in a general election, but sure, it does play in a primary. Oh, man, does it ever. Now, a couple things I want you to hear from the idea of Beto not being woke enough. Ex-Hillary aide, staffer, and CNN political contributor Jess McIntosh had kind words for the newly announced Democratic presidential candidate O'Rourke, but also pointed out to the double standard in the coverage of his launch versus the way a woman would be covered. And she warned against a media double standard in covering O'Rourke. The only thing I want to make sure as part of a conversation when we talk about him is that it would be near impossible for a woman to run that same kind of a race. All right? Take a listen.
The only thing that I want to make sure is part of a conversation when we talk about Beto is that it would be near impossible for a woman to run that same kind of race. Trying to imagine a woman saying, I was born to do this, is really pretty impossible. Similarly, yeah. Trying to imagine a woman saying, sure, my kids say they're going to cry every day that I'm running, but I'm going to do it anyway, would also be impossible. So as Beto is rightfully praised for the sort of outside candidacy that he's putting forward, I want to make sure that double standard is part of the conversation, because I think it could do us all a lot of good if we started treating everybody about the same.
That's another problem, too, that he faces within the own Democratic Party. So they eat their own, too, which is fun to watch. They'll destroy him because he's, at the end of the day, he's just a white guy, not even Hispanic. You know, he's not even Latino, so they'll destroy him for that, too. And then they just wind up killing each other in the primary, which is good again for the president. Now, at a couple of minutes, I'm going to talk to the Institute for Justice President Scott Bullock. There's a wonderful Supreme Court case I want to talk about with you in just a matter of moments. But let me just touch quickly on the executive national emergency declaration. So the media is making a lot of hay over this, as you can imagine. The president's going to veto it, and there's not enough votes to override his veto. So his emergency declaration will stand. But for the Republicans that voted against it, I just want to speak for two of them, Rand Paul and Mike Lee. I respect those guys immensely, as you know. And I understand their points. And they're trying to warn us about the future. You know, I've heard a number of, and remember, I support the president on this because I believe he has more than enough authority to do so. I'm not one of those guys that believes he's doing something extra executive or extra constitutional. I'm not. Let's understand that. But I understand their warning, and I've made the same warning, which is this. In the future, there's going to be a Democrat who does something crazy. We have to wake up and realize that this power is very broad and we've got to do something about it. And if we don't do it now, we're going to regret it in 10 years or 5 years or 2 years, depending on what happens in the next election. Number one, because people keep making the same points to me on Twitter. Number one, they'll do it anyway. That's true, which is why we should change the law. They would do it anyway. So Mike Lee has a bill that would allow Congress, the president's executive declarations would only stand for 30 days unless Congress extends them. That's a very smart move and something we should agree to now so that in the future, when one of these nut jobs decides to seize coal plants, it'll only last for a month. Number two, people have said they can't take away constitutional rights. That's not true. They did it in New Orleans after Katrina. When you have the ability to suspend the law for an executive action, you can take away everybody's rights in every area of life. Yes, that includes the Second Amendment, even though it's in the Constitution. That's another fallacy that's out there. Number three, I understand presidents have done it. I get it. And that's why I don't think the president's out of line doing this. But remember something. The fact is, this is the most controversial executive action a president has ever done, at least recently in our time. And as time goes on, it's only going to get more controversial. So why not use this as a wake-up call to say, let's have a way for Congress to be able to deal with this in a better fashion. And then the fourth thing I would point out to you is that I don't think trashing Mike Lee and Rand Paul is the right approach here. These guys have been solid Trump supporters. They've helped the president in every way, but they have very strong positions on things, and they have been arguing against executive authority for a long time. And the fact is that this doesn't kill the president's executive action. This is their point that they're making on the record. The votes are not going to override his veto, so it's going to stand, at least until it goes to the courts. I can't speak for the other Republicans because obviously for a lot of them, they do play games and they do try to make a show and a song and a dance. But at least for Rand Paul and Mike Lee, these are two guys who believe in the Constitution. And they believe that we are going down a dangerous road of executive authority. That is something we're never going to be able to put back in the bottle. And I get it. And I agree. And Mike Lee went to the president and said, look, I will support this. I'm asking you to please support my bill, which would then say that if a president declares an executive action, it only lasts for 30 days unless Congress extends it. And he said no. And I think that's a mistake. Just like I think it's a mistake to override this, to attempt to override the executive authority on this. I think it's a mistake to not try to rein it in now while you have the chance. I think you have to rein it in now. Because otherwise, if one of these people becomes president, I can only imagine what they'll try to pull in 5 years. I can only imagine. And I think you can too if you close your eyes and you think about it. So now that we're all awake to the fact of what kind of power is there, and you think about that power in the wrong hands, and you recognize that Donald Trump's not going to be president forever, and you're not always going to agree with the executive on what they believe is an authority or a national emergency. Why not do something about it now, is my point. Why not do something? But I think the problem, though, is that we live in a very black and white world. You're either with them or you're against them. You're either with them or you're against them. And I understand that point. I do. People get very, very, you know, gotta be on the same team. I get that. But I also understand the reality of life. The reality of life is that presidents going to veto this, and they're not going to be able to override his veto, so it's going to stand. But at least now we're talking about the fact that there's a whole lot of power given to the president by Congress that in the wrong hands can be devastating to our liberty. It's a good thing we're talking about it, and I salute the ones who brought it up. I think trashing them is the wrong approach. Before some nut job comes in and decides for the good of the planet to shut down the First Amendment because of all those climate deniers that are out there. You know what I'm saying? I think you do. I think you do. All right, 855-839-1210. But the bottom line is this. The president will veto it, and they will not have the votes to override the veto. The next fight will be in the courts, as I've said to you from day one.
Riccioli, 3-6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.